Now tonight, what I'd like to do so that we understand this section and the way that I think I understood, I'd like to, I have written part of the presentation to you, and so for those who are in the internet and receive my Revelation series, I have sent some of the outline copy. Now today they're going to get a written copy of our presentation tonight. But let me talk about a little bit about this as I go over the introduction, and then we read the passage together. Now, as you read Revelation 19, no sooner was the marriage of solemnized between Christ and the church, remember they have that wedding feast, than the glorious head and husband of the church is called to a new expedition, to work, which seems to be, as we're going to read here, the great battle that was to be fought at Armageddon, foretold in chapter 16 and verse 16. Let me read that, chapter 16 and verse 16. We are foretold that it's going to come to an end, the whole world, by a big battle. The Bible said, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So that was foretold us in chapter 16 and verse 16. Now, to me, there is no doubt in my mind, this is the final battle of human history. There will be no other battle so great. What Hitler did with his extermination is peanuts compared to what God is going to do at the end of history. This is where human history ends. That's it. Period. Nobody will have anything to say. And where the Lord Jesus Christ really intervenes and stops the madness and evil of humanity. They will be such a horror against Christ that you say, when this is going to end? Well, it ends right here. So the battle of Armageddon, and by the way, on the title, I like to put the title, I put the word "the," and I changed the title name three times. Finally, I don't put the title. The title is the Battle of Armageddon. That will be the title. Now, the Battle of Armageddon is the intervention of Jesus Christ into world history. Right now, the world is laughing about Jesus. And if you're a Christian, I was talking to Heather this morning, and Heather is studying nursery, and she told me, I'm taking anthropology, I'm taking anatomy classes, and the professor said, oh, those who are Christian, leave the class. There is no room for you here. We are very science people, and so on. And she said, imagine if they hear the sermon this morning. I said, well, these violent enemies are nothing to compare to the very end when they're going to dominate the world and so on. I was listening to a science man from New Jersey last night talking to me on the phone and telling me all the things that Obama plans to do as to regulate America in a social behavior worse than Russia. And they plan to do that by winning the Congress again and so on. And all the things he told me, I never dreamed of, like there will be a computer controlling your electrical bill and telling you when to have electricity and when not to have electricity. There will be all kinds of things, inspecting your home and say, no, you don't need this, you don't need the other, and take it away. That's for the good of humanity and so on. And especially if you're a Christian, the things is going to happen. I just listen carefully. I don't know how much of that could be true or not. But I know now that in California, there is a crazy meter that they put in your home, and they shut your electricity during the summertime if they want to, if you have the air conditioning or not. So far, you can refuse to have them, but there will be a time where you are not. So the government will own the electricity, not a private company, and will control you and all this. All of this is God's plan to come to a very end. First, it's a judgment to America for forgetting about God. And secondly, it's God's plan to come to this very end. So now I'm going to read the verses And then we're going to examine them verse by verse, all right? So you get a juicy information about this. We're going to read Revelation chapter 19, starting at verse 17. John is speaking, and he said, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God." An invitation. Have you seen a vulture? At my home, we had the opportunity to see vultures over and over. They stretch their wings about 12 feet. They go. I saw deers dead. 1 hour later, it's gone. That's how powerful are. Verse 18. "That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men." The mighty men is government people. And the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast and them that worship his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Now we're going to look into verses by verses and see what I understood the scripture is saying to you. First of all, the call of the supper of the great God. Now, this is not the Lord's Supper. This is not the great supper of the church that we already have all together. This is different. This is called in the Bible the supper of the great God, the great dinner God's going to have. All right? First, the terrifying preparation for this supper is given in verse 17. Look at here. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun." Amazing. You cannot look the sun 2 minutes and you get hurt. And here is an angel standing on the sun. So you can see an angel is made of certain things that we are not made of. All right? "And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all of the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God." So a mighty angel cries with a loud voice to all the birds of the air. He cries for them to gather together for the supper of the great God. That's what the scripture said. Why are the birds of the air called together? That's what I thought. Why? Because God is going to destroy the godless nations and armies of this world. God is going to slay all the armies of all the nations of the world. God is ending once for all the slaughter of human life upon this earth. Therefore, the angel is calling together all the birds of the air to feast upon the ungodly of this world when they have been slain. That's what the end of verse 17 said. Come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. Come and have a feast with the ungodly. Now, when they read that, they laugh about it. See, because they are blind, remember? And so they laugh about this. Now, notice who it is to be slain and who is become a feast for the vultures of the earth. In verse 18, it tells us. The idea is very important. The idea is that all the armies of the world will be destroyed. Every single army will be destroyed. Christianity and hate Christianity, their flesh is going to be eaten. all the flesh of captains, all the generals and armies and all of this, all the flesh of mighty men, people of business who now control the world, they're going to be gone. And the flesh of horses and the armies, everything is going to be destroyed. Now, this is not new. This is a direct fulfillment of Ezekiel 39. So I'd like to go with you back to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 39. And the Pew Bible is 950-something. Let's see, 946, I think it is. All right? And look with me at verse 4. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be the war. Now I'm going to read verse 17 to 20 on Ezekiel. And thou, son of man, thus said the Lord God, speak unto every feather fall and to every beast of the field. Assemble yourself and come. Gather yourself on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that ye may eat flesh and drink blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of lambs, of goats, bullocks, all of them falling of Bashan. And ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink blood till ye be drunken of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, saith the Lord God. So the prophecy of Ezekiel is very tough, all right? The prophecy of Ezekiel is, this is not new in the Bible, this is not something that the Jewish people have invented, that's what the Gentiles think. This is something that has been planned by God. This is the way that God's going to punish the entire world. But there is more to come and very revealing. So going back to Revelation 19, we're going to see the mobilizing of the world forces in verse 19. Revelation, I'm in John. Let me move to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 19. I get there in a second. Here it is, 19 and verse 19. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The one who sat on the horse is Jesus. And so this is what I comment. There will be the mobilizing of the world's armies. Notice exactly what it says in verse 19. And I saw the beasts and the kings, plural, of the earth and the armies, plural, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Now, the Antichrist is there. The leaders of the earth are there. The armies of the nations are there. The entire world said, we're going to finish with Jesus. That's what they said. All right? Now, I have a question. How the armies of the world get to Palestine? Well, there are two ways, I thought. Number one, they got there the same way they will today, according to Joel 3, 9 to 16. And two, the armies of the world will gather in Palestine because there is an evil spirit behind the Confederation of Nations. There will be there to protect their own national interests in the Middle East and Palestine. You heard that. Well, this is good for America. We need to protect our national interests. You hear that in the news. And so Palestine is very important, and the Arabian world is very important because of the oil, and the nations will go over there trying to see what's going on because they have interest. Now, the example of all of this, we have it in the year 1990 when Desert Storm War, remember, under Bush father, the United Nations, they call it, but it was America, action against Iraq when Iraq attacked Kuwait. Kuwait was part of Iraq, was part of the nation of Iraq. America and England divided for oil, national interest for oil. And so when something went wrong, there was not too long, what, 1 month, 2 months, and we have all the armies, 260,000 men all over there going into the desert and invited. And so when Christ come and the interest of the world is lost and their money is lost, they will bring all the armies of the world into one place in order to destroy the Lord Jesus. And so the whole world is going to be mobilized into that particular place to finish with Jesus. Now, look at in verse 20, at the beginning of verse 20, the simple and quick capture of the hostile forces. The Bible said, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that have received the mark of the beast. There will be the simple and quick capture of the Antichrist. Right now, the Antichrist is loose and doing what he wants. But here, look at this. And the beast was taken. No more problem. No tactfulness. No strategic and battles of days and years. And the beast was taken, said. And the false prophet. Second Thessalonians tell us exactly what will happen to the Antichrist. And I copy in my paper, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8. Look at what I'm going to read from the paper, 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, now how? With the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we're going to analyze that. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 is explaining what happened in Revelation 19:20. All right? I'm comparing the scripture. And now let me deal with this. The Lord Jesus shall slay the Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth, said verse 8. Actually, with the spirit of his breath, the breathing. Remember the word in 2 Timothy 3:16 said that all the word of God is the breath of God. And that's the same word used here. Okay, what is the spirit of Jesus' mouth? It is the spirit of truth, the spirit of holiness and unlimited power. Christ will just speak the word for the Antichrist to be slain, and the Antichrist will be slain. It will be like blowing of a little breath, and the dust particles is removed and never returned. If you have, you know, those blowers, and you go in your yard or in your driveway, and you just blow the blower, and the whole thing moves. That's how it's going to be. That's exactly how it to be. Also notice, the Lord of glory will destroy the Antichrist with the brightness of his coming, said verse 8. Will destroy with the brightness of his coming. The word brightness is a very special word. It is a word chosen in the New Testament to refer only to the coming of the Lord. It is used only 5 times in the New Testament, and in every instance, it refers to the Lord's coming into the world. It refers only once to his first coming in 1 Timothy 1:10, only once, and 4 times to his second coming in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 14, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, and Titus 2, 13. The whole idea of brightness is a splendor, radiance, glory, and light. And so very, very careful the language has been used here to introduce to us what God is going to do. And verse 20 tell us in Revelation 19 that all these will be taken. And there will be no other things to argue about. Now, verse 20 also talks about victory. If you keep on reading verse 20, the Bible says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that would brought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. And now look at how verse ended. these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Now, this is very important to me. There are people who said, well, when the unbeliever die, that's the end. Note what that verse says. So I comment in point five, the victory. Now notice the word destroy does not mean annihilate, but to make inoperative, to make powerless, to end, to put a stop to the evil work of the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the false prophet will both be immediately cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is called in the Bible either Gehenna in many places or the lake of fire. This is the place where all those who have rebelled against God are to be cast at the end of the world. Let me show it to you in Revelation chapter 21 and in verse 8. It's not just for the devil alone, for the Antichrist, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See, some people think, the Jehovah's Witness one of them, that second death is you disappear. You are not a believer, and so you want to experience the second death. You experience one death, the physical death, and then the spiritual death, and they think it's the same as the physical death. That's as a man explained to me in McDonald's. When you die physically, you disappear. When you die spiritually, you disappear. Now, sound reasonable, but it's not biblical. Because here in Revelation 19:20, the Antichrist and the false prophet, to hell, what we call it. Now, the weapon of victory, verse 21. What in the world Christ used? What kind of missile Christ used? You know, I'm just thinking like a child now. What kind of missile did Christ design to blow up all the armies at once? You know, well, have you played a crest with the soldiers when they were little? I play with soldiers, strategic soldiers. I read in history how they set up, and I set up then. My daddy would buy them and then exercise the battle as was reading and so on. I was 6, 7 years old, and I like that. Now, so when I read that, my childhood came back, and I said, now, let's see the play. Okay, let's read it, verse 21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon a horse. So he used a sword, he don't use a missile. Which sword proceed out of his mouth? Wow. So here's what I said. Verse 21 describe the weapon of victory that the Lord uses to slay the armies. What will be the weapon? What will the weapon be? A sword. The sword of his mouth. Jesus Christ had no physical, material, carnal, or fleshly weapon made of this earth. The only Lord will simply speak the word of death, and every soul of the godless nation and armies present will drop dead. All because they choose to reject, deny, and curse Christ and God, and slaughter the millions in the worst Holocaust the world will have ever seen. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ will have no choice. He will have to stop the slaughter and
of God. You see it?
The Spirit of Christ, as we talked this morning, you only can see in God through the Spirit and through Christ. The Spirit of Christ and His Word, He will say death, and everybody will be dead. The Father said, let be the light. Remember in Genesis chapter 1, we are used to this, Genesis chapter 1, and verse 3, the earth was in darkness, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? Okay, we have to study how to produce the light. No, and there was light. And so the same way, Jesus, who is God, will say, dead. And it will be dead. And the falls of the air, all these flying around, don't have to worry about it. Don't have to kill anybody. They will be all dead. Just serve in a table for them. Now, this is the end of history. Not for you and me, for these people. And I want to emphasize again, I am so sure that the end of life is not just a judgment. The judgment will produce life in two ways. One will forever, and the other in hell forever. And the Bible clears that. You only see in chapter 20 when the Bible describes the hell will be in the lake of fire forever. And so how blessed we are who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who believe that because of Him, we will avoid the final destination of our life. And how, don't argue with anybody about politics and things and so on. I said to myself, I just let them, I said, you know, I believe in God, and I leave them alone because they're blind. And I know America cannot be saved anymore. I know it's coming faster to a real thing. But, you know, I'm not feeling sad, because if America comes down, then the world ends. There is no other country who protects the gospel like America. And maybe this is it. This is the time. How many years? I don't know. When? I don't know. But I know one thing. I can see the symptoms. I can see the symptoms. This morning, I was watching television to see the standards. The Arabic Al-Arabiya television tells you the percentage of voting in America. They know better than you are. And they said only it's 50-50 between Democrats, and because the people who are independent, they do not want the people who support McCain, and therefore they will not vote Democrats. And so Obama will not lose his election. I just listen to that and I just laugh about it. 10 minutes. Love America at the same time they destroy America. And it's just curious that God write this, that in order to destroy the world, there need to be a confederation of nations against only one tiny little simple nation, Israel. And at that moment, the Lord will come. You and I maybe know a life, but I tell you, my comfort is that I just trust Christ. And I know that those people who get so eager to insult and to be against Christ and the laws, who knows that they want to put against Christ. Churches maybe will not have the opportunity to speak anymore. That for a season, because at the end, Christ will speak the word and victory will come. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for the lesson tonight that teach us to trust what you're going to do. You even tell how you're going to do. You're going to speak like you spoke at the beginning of the world, and things will be done. Help us to trust you, and help us to get busy in promoting the gospel to everyone so that people may come to know you and live forever. In Jesus we pray, amen. Any question, any suggestion, anything that you'd like to add? I need to correct this paper. I saw, as I read, some mistakes, and I will put it together. Finally, but is any questions, suggestions, anything you'd like to add, maybe, and see it? All right. And pastors said, we will hear. One is in South Dakota. We will hear the Bible. And two, in New Mexico. They said, well, that's fantastic. What version are they going to read? So we said, we read the King James Version, the official version. Oh, that's very good. He is from the Brethren Church, he said. And so praise the Lord. Well, I want to start making advertising to people. Use our church and listen to the Word of God. Because if they listen to the Word of God and see what happened to Israel, perhaps we got a wake up in the churches of God. God bless you. Have a great week. And restore your forces for tomorrow. Go to work. And for those who are listening, good night. For those who are in the East Coast, good night. God bless you.